Hello, I'm Sherry House, a missionary living in Thailand who loves to study the lives of great women of whom it can be said, she hath done what she could. Welcome to Silhouettes, my weekly story about a lady whose life challenges, encourages, and teaches me. I hope as you listen today, your heart will be encouraged and challenged too, to do what you can for the Lord. So grab a cup of tea, sit back and enjoy. Let me tell you her story. Emily Susan Hartwell was born on April 16, 1859, in Fuzhou, China, exactly 6 years to the day after her parents first arrived in Hong Kong. Emily was the fourth of seven children born to Charles and Lucy Hartwell while serving as missionaries under the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions. Her parents gave their whole lives to the Chinese people, bringing them the light of the gospel for over five decades. Emily graduated from Wheaton College in 1883 at the age of 24 and joined the teaching staff. Just a couple months later, she received word that her mother had passed away. It was decided that Emily would go and take her mother's place, and she was commissioned by the same mission board as her parents. Emily worked for the next 20 years side by side with her father until his death in 1905. She then continued on her own for another 30 years. Emily was a pioneer in the development of industrial schools and orphanages in China. During her over 50 years of missionary service, she started a girls' school, taught English at the Fuzhou College, founded an orphanage named the Christian Harold Fukien Industrial Homes, where she not only taught the hundreds of children that passed through its doors the love of Christ, but also focused on teaching crafts and trades so that they could support themselves in the future. Emily also established the Union Kindergarten Training School and founded both the Christian Women's Industrial Institute and the Dr. Cordelia A. Green Memorial Home. Each time Emily returned to the States, she visited Wheaton College to encourage more young people to join in the cause for Christ for China. She gave the college many artifacts over the years, including ancestral tablets, printed materials, and even a ceremonial crown that was given to her. These treasured items were evidence that Emily was well respected by the Chinese for her humanitarian efforts. When Fuzhou suffered a large flood in 1900 and went through periods of famine, Emily organized relief work. She provided aid to the poor during the Boxer Rebellion, and in 1911 she raised funds to aid the stranded and starving Manchus in Fuzhou after the fall of the Qing Dynasty. In 1918, the President of the Republic of China awarded Emily the Order of the Precious Brilliant Golden Grain, honoring her for her many years of achievement and service to the people of Fuzhou. Emily's missionary efforts were also recognized back home, when in 1922 she was awarded one of the first honorary degrees bestowed by Wheaton College for her faithful missionary service. Emily's personal involvement in the work she established in China came to an end in 1937 when she was evacuated from Fuzhou during the Sino-Japanese War, but her work carried on for many, many years after that. Already in her late 70s, Emily decided it was time to retire and settled in Oberlin, Ohio, in a home for retired missionaries. On October 2, 1951, at the age of 92, Emily passed away. Besides her Savior, that she had served so faithfully, I'm sure there were many Chinese converts there at Heaven's Gates, ready to greet her and to thank her for her part in them coming to know Christ. Well, you can find out more about Emily Hartwell on my website, sherryhouse.com, but let me tell you one more story from her life that resonated with one of my own. In my research, I could find only a few facts about Emily's childhood. We know she was born in China in 1859, and then records show that she was living in Minnesota in both 1870 and in 1880, the time when she would have been a preteen and then a young adult. Records also show that at those times her parents were actually living in China. So I'm not sure if Emily was living with family or at a boarding school, but we can surmise that she didn't see her mother in person much during her most formative years, and yet her mother still had a profound impact on her life. Somehow, Emily's mother was able to pass on to Emily, through letters and through example, the importance of a spiritual walk with Christ and the importance of using her life to serve Him. Her mother's life example, no doubt, helped Emily make her decision to dedicate her own life to China. It's interesting to note that Emily's mother also attended Wheaton College and upon her graduation joined the teaching staff before going to the mission field, just another similarity between Emily and her mother. I don't know if it was always Emily's desire to return to China. after receiving her education, but she obviously felt called to carry on her mother's work, and she is a perfect example of someone who put her hand to the plow and never looked back. I'm sure her mother was also waiting proudly at Heaven's Gates to welcome her daughter home. Ancestry has always fascinated me, and I love hearing the stories from those in my familial past. My great uncle on my mother's side compiled a vast amount of our family history into a memoir before he died. In the pages of this book, we can find our lineage going back to the 1700s. It appears there was a spiritual awakening within our family line that started with my great-great-great-grandpa, Caleb Jackson. He was born in 1819, and from the point of his salvation, led his family in the things of Christ. From his lineage, we have decades of family who stayed faithful to God and passed down a Christian heritage to their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and on. It was said of my great-great-grandpa Jackson, so Caleb Jackson's son, that his life was not to be an accumulation of things, but a life of discipleship and witnessing, of speaking out for Christ and leading souls into the kingdom of heaven. There are dozens of preachers spread throughout my family tree. I think of one of my mother's cousins in particular, who pastored his entire life. His four sons also became lifelong pastors. Besides those in full-time service, there are many, many more who were an integral part of their local church and were examples of lives lived pleasing to God. My great-grandma Glum comes to mind, who started playing the organ in her little country church at the age of 15 and did so faithfully for the next 74 years. My grandparents helped my uncle plant a church that started in their basement. That church is still going on today after 55 years. My parents, of course, have been my greatest examples, and I am so thankful for the many people in my family who lived their lives in such a way that the generations who came after them could have such a solid Christian foundation to build on. As far as we know, I'm the first in our family to be a missionary, but it would be my prayer that I'm not the last. I pray often for someone to be willing to carry on the work I've done once I'm gone. Today I'd like to talk to you about two different words, stumbling block or stepping stone. And I want to just chat with you a bit about checking to see if you are being a stumbling block for those who come behind you or if you are being a stepping stone. By definition, a stumbling block is something that causes difficulty or hesitation. Does your Christian walk cause your children to hesitate? Are they unsure if they want to go down that same path as you? Are you being a stumbling block to future generations because of your lack of commitment to Christ right now? A stepping stone, though, in its literal sense, means a raised stone used singly or in a series as a place on which to step when crossing a stream or muddy area. Isn't that perfect? What a blessing it is if you have stepping stone after stepping stone to help you maneuver this muddy path we call life. Figuratively, the definition for stepping stone fits as well. It is an action or event that helps one to make progress towards a specified goal. It should be the goal of every Christian to pass on the truths of the Bible to the next generation. It should be the goal of every Christian to live life in such a way that when the generations that come after them look back into their familial past, they can find many stepping stones to give them a sure foundation and clear direction. Psalms 145 actually lays out our responsibility to the generations to come very clearly when it says in verse 4, "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." It goes on to give at least another 17 things that are our responsibility to make sure future generations know. Let's quickly look at them, and as we do, I'd like you to ask yourself and answer honestly when the last time was you taught these things by word or by action to your children or other family members. And I don't mean the last time you took your child to Sunday school for their teacher to teach them, or the last time you sent your teen to youth group in hopes they might learn something that would correct their bad behavior. I want you to think about your responsibility in this. I want you to think about if you have actively been teaching these things. I am convinced that if we spent more time recognizing and acknowledging these things in our lives and teaching them to the next generation, there would be far less heartache, less problems to fix, and definitely sure foundations for future generations to build upon. If you have your Bible open, I recommend that you underline these things. Verse 4, like I said, says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Now, I'm not going to explain each one of these things because you can look them up and think upon them and decide what you think each of these things mean. But it says here we are to declare God's mighty acts, the things that he has done in the scriptures that we have seen in the past, in the history of the Israelites, the things that he has done in your life. Do your older children know things that might have happened when they were just young children? It is our responsibility to declare the mighty acts of God to our children and the generations that come. Verse 5 says, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. When was the last time you talked to your child, you sat them down, whether they're an adult child or not, and talked to them about God's majesty? Number 6, verse 6 says, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Have you taken time to warn your children and those that are under your care about the terrible acts of the Lord, the consequences for not following his commands? Verse 7 says, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Have you ever voiced to your children? Just sat them down and talked to them about the graciousness of the Lord that he has shown to you. Have you talked to them about how much compassion he has had towards you, how he has been slow to anger, and how he has shown you great mercy? Each generation needs to know that the things that God did in Bible times, he is still doing today. The graciousness and compassion he showed to the Israelites in their sinful state, he will still show to us today. It is our generation's responsibility to make sure this is passed on for future generations. Verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Verse 11 says, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. When was the last time you sat somebody down and just talked to them about the glory of his kingdom? In order to do that, you have to sit down yourself and think upon this and wonder and just meditate on the glory of the kingdom. And then take those things that you think about and you meditate on and talk to somebody else about it. Verse 12 says, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Verse 13, the last one, it says, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. It's important for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren to know that the kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. There is more to life in their future, in their eternity, than what they have going on in their life right now. You know, ladies, my desire would be that all of you had a Christian heritage like mine. But if you don't, purpose today, as my great-great-great-grandfather did nearly 200 years ago, that you will be the first stepping stone and hopefully a long line of stepping stones for your future generations. Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's silhouette and learning a little bit more about Emily Hartwell's story and this matter of being a stepping stone for your future generations. She truly was a woman of whom it could be said she hath done what she could. Let's you and I go do what we can do.
Silhouettes with Sherry is written and told by missionary Sherry House. To learn more about Sherry, this story, or other stories about women who were used of God, read Sherry's blog at sherryhouse.com. That's sharihouse.com. Silhouettes can be heard at this time every week on this station. Silhouettes is a Causeway Media and Faith Music Radio production. Thank you.